We're holding Maseches Brachos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, 8-8. This Mishnah, the last of the Perek, has a machlokas again between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai regarding the halachas of Suda, and also as a second topic, unrelated, about the obligation to say Amen after a bracha. The first part is talking about the question of whether one must bench on a kos. If when he says Birkat HaMazon, he must have a cup of wine. And that's machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. The Mishnah says, Balam Yain Ma'achar HaMazon. If the wine only comes after the meal, meaning one hasn't drunk wine yet, now he's thirsty and wants to drink, and that's the only cup he has. So the question is, may he drink now and then bench, but of course he wouldn't have a cup of wine then, or must he save his cup of wine for the benching and then drink after he does the Birkat HaMazon? So Beishamai Omrim Mevarach Al HaYayin Ba'achar Kach Mevarach Al HaMazon. Beishamai say, go right ahead if you want to and drink the cup of wine now. And after that, you'll make the benching al mazon, the bench on the food, without a cup of wine, because there's no obligation to have a cup of wine. Ubesil omrim, mevarach al mazon, ba'achakach, mevarach al yain. Besil say no. One is required to have a cup of wine when he benches, and therefore, you have to hold off on drinking, do the birkat mazon, and after you say the bracha on the food, then ba'achakach, you'll be able to make a bracha on the wine, meaning you could just drink the wine after you bench and to the benching over a cup of wine. The halacha here is quite unusual. It's Aruch Chaim Kuf Pei Beis. The Mechaber brings three different sheets of three Yesh Omrim. The first is based on a Tosos and Arvei Pesachim that one must bench on a kos, even by himself. And more than that, he shouldn't even start to eat until he figures out where he's going to get his cup of wine to bench on. The second sheet brought down is that one benches when he gets... He must bench on a kos, but only once he has three people. And the third shita, the Rambam and Rif, is that one need not bench on a kos, regardless. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Rama says, even though that's true, he says all agree that it's a mitzvah and a muvchar, that ideally, the best way to perform the mitzvah of benching is on a cup of wine. That's ideal. Mishnah Berurah says that the custom seems to be that we don't bench on a kos on a cup of wine, but he, of course, points out that one ideally should if he has the wine. And it seems to me the minhag is that when three bench, typically no wine, but on more formal suitors like in a benching at Shabbos, people do bring out the wine. That's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah now discusses the obligation of saying Amen after a bracha. It's an obligation of the Midrabanan. It's based on a pasuk, Kishem Hashem Erecha Havakudu Lelokeinu. When I call out Hashem's name, you'll respond back, ascribing greatness to him, which is a prescription for the way one must respond with Baruch Shem Kavod in the Beis HaMikdash, when hearing Hashem's ineffable name, the name Yud Kevav Kev pronounced. So that's an obligation of the Midoraisa and the Beis HaMikdash. Midorabbanan, the rabbis extended it to whenever you hear a bracha, you have to affirm their bracha, both that it's true and that you stand behind it. So it's true that Hashem is the one who makes the fruit of the vine, or the case may be, and also a bracha that's requesting chunin hadas, that you indeed want that to come true, that Hashem should be not just affirming that Hashem is the chunin hadas, but that you want Hashem to indeed give das, etc. Now, the obligation is to say amen. The etymological root of amen is like emunah, faith, expressing one's faith that this is true and that Hashem can do it. And it's also brought down that this is an acronym for Kel, that's the Aleph, Hashem's name, Kel, Melech Ne'aman, Aleph Memnon, that Hashem is a trustworthy king. Again, affirming that Hashem does and can do these things, whatever the bracha is saying. So it's an obligation to say Amen when a bracha is said, and it's actually not an obligation to have heard the bracha in order to say Amen. However, you do need to know what bracha was said, because you can't affirm something if you don't know what you're affirming. So you have to know which bracha is being said, but not actually hear the bracha. The Gemara brings an interesting case that in Alexandria, they had enormous shuls, and the crowd was so big, and of course there's no microphone, so people in the back couldn't actually hear what the Shliach Tzibur was saying in the front, but they had flags that would wave to notify the people in the back. They just said a bracha, and you should say Amen. And of course people followed along and knew what they were up to, and then were saying Amen for the bracha, even though they never heard it. So the Mishnah now says, On Amen Acha Yisrael HaMavarach. You must respond to Amen after hearing a Jew make a bracha, again, but not having heard per se, just knowing he made the bracha. So just for example, just to illustrate this point, let's say a person hears a person make a bracha over the phone. So then one would make, say, amen after that bracha, lahalacha. And the reason why is because he knows a particular bracha was said, even though what he heard to the receiver actually isn't legally called hearing it, because that's just a tape recording, so to speak, a replay of what was said. As opposed to if one hears a recording of someone making a bracha, then of course he would not say amen because the bracha is actually being said now by a Jew. So a Jew makes a bracha, then on amen acha Yisrael mavarach, but the ein on amen acha kusi hamavarach ad sheyishma kol bracha. When it comes to a kusi, remember the kusi, these are the good or perhaps bad Samaritans. That was a machlokas tanaim if they were legitimate converts or gerei ariot, lion converts. So they were good about keeping the Torah shebichsav but not Torah shebaalpeh. So therefore their Jewish observance was dubious. And if you heard a kusi, a Samaritan, reciting a bracha, if you heard the bracha, you would say amen because he said it properly. But if he didn't hear what he said, if you didn't hear what he said, so then you may not say amen because you're not sure exactly to whom or to what he was making the bracha. So once you heard the whole bracha and you know what he was said, then you could say amen. The Ramah brings lahalach, of course, there are no kusim today, but there are plenty of non-Jews. And if a non-Jew, a Gentile, makes a blessing, like Yisrael saying Baruch Hashem, etc., if they are saying something, a blessing, and ascribing whatever it is they're ascribing to Hashem, the one and only God, then one would indeed say amen to that bracha, even though the one who said it is not Jewish.